Hi, everybody. It is Sarah, and welcome to our final Envision call. I know that this class goes by so quickly, but there's so much material, it's actually best to sort of cap it off and not add more. Instead, we'll just have time to integrate everything that we've been taught. And before I get started, I just wanted to thank everybody for all the wonderful positive messages that you sent me, not only for my birthday, but also along the way on the Q&A chat and on the Facebook page. I really do appreciate it so much. It you know, warms my heart to know that I'm helping people, as everyone on this call can know. It feels really good when you know you're making a difference in helping people. So thank you so much for the love. I really do appreciate it, and I want to make sure that you know, that I'm receiving it and that I am just grateful for all of you as well. So thank you for that. Next, I just want to make sure that, you know, everyone is checking out the Facebook page, because we've had some great shares and some great questions, and they really do help flesh out this material with specific examples of actual, you know, processes that people have done. So if you haven't gotten a chance to do that, I definitely encourage you to do that, you know, in the next couple of weeks. I started a question thread a little bit earlier to make sure it would show up in people's feeds. It is orange, and so if you have a question tonight, you'll want to go ahead and post it in that thread so that I can see it. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I have, you know, had a couple of logistical questions come in from different people that I want to try to cover to the best of my ability. The first is that Shared Wisdom starts on February 17th, so we're going to have a little bit of overlap with the classes, meaning that our Facebook page is going to stay open while that class is still going. So that's when Shared Wisdom begins. In terms of the how long the class itself, both the lessons and the live calls, will be up in your Oracle School platform, the word that I got is that they keep it up there until they're getting ready to run the class again. So I think it's safe to say that through summer, even into fall, all of the access to the class should be there until they're getting ready for new people or the next run of it. And then they, you know, close off access and the old calls and open it up for the new classes that are coming. If I am able to nail down a specific date of when it's going to be taken down, I will let you know that, because just like you, after March the 7th, I'm not going to be able to post on our Facebook page after that. So if I can get a time and put it in there, I will put it in there and let you know. Okay. What other questions were coming in? Oh, yes, a couple people have been wondering if I'm available for one-on-one mentoring for Envision or coaching, and I'm available for both. I'll make a post about it at the end of this. The best way to get in touch with me is through Messenger or email, and I'll post my email address a little bit later. Okay, and just so you know, I don't use emails to grow a list or solicit you to anything. I just use it for invoicing and to make sure that we have our shared agreements together. Okay, so I think those were all the questions that came in this week, so I'm going to go ahead and do a quick little recap for you of the process, because I think you're starting to sense, you know, sense the themes, and I hope that you are. But the main themes of all of the questions and the objective for the Envision process is radical acceptance. It's allowing everything to exist in both its entirety and its integrity. And we both allow and accept with total compassion the parts of ourselves, the feelings that we have, the thoughts that we, you know, entertain, that we have tried to turn away from, that we have suppressed, or that we have disowned. We turn toward them with compassion, and we listen, and we explore, and we do our best to see any reflection back to us of what we didn't know prior. So again, it includes all of our thoughts, all of our feelings, all of our voices, all of our patterns. Our intention is to be consciously aware of and then separate from our identification with them. Once we're able to do that, get some distance, we get the distance either through, you know, first seeing it as a landscape, secondly, going up with the bird, checking it out from there. We also see it as the adult rescuer going in to the past to go ahead and get a different perspective than our younger selves have when we're doing a rescue mission. We also get perspective when we feel the different energies in the different chairs. So we're allowing for all of it to exist, and then we're beginning to get a distance to move into the observer to be able to gather more information, decrease our identification with it, and then be able to have a much better choice about how things are going and what we want to choose, as opposed to having subconscious programming generally from a younger, scared part of ourselves, or a part of ourselves that's in unrest and is in survival mode, that's running the ship without us even knowing it. We get distance from that, we show it compassion, and then we and our adult selves, as I like to call it, take over and have much more choices than we did before. And like I've said before, being just able to name and identify emotions is incredibly powerful, and that makes it empowering to us. I don't want you to minimize how powerful it can be to just simply say something like, I feel lonely. I feel scared. I feel scared about what? I feel scared about my future. I feel scared about how I'm feeling. I feel really, really angry. Very, very helpful, very, very powerful just to be able to name that so we're not enmeshed with it. You can see how naming that is incredibly powerful and in and of itself also creates some distance. So that's what we're doing with all three of the questions of the Envision process. And as we do that, we see that these emotions, thoughts, and feelings and patterns, they flow through our life experience, but they're not the constant of our life experience. And that when we explore it a little further, we learn that what we presumed them to be may not be all of it in its entirety. We may see many epiphanies, many ahas that we didn't see before. And indeed, the hallmark of the Envision process, especially when you're first using it, is I was totally surprised. I did not expect that. That's the common phrase, and that's exactly what we're going for. The more that you use this, the more you'll be like, wow, you can't make this up. This is exactly what I want to cover and to continue to uncover and to continue to know about anything that I might be experiencing at any time in my life. So we can approach our internal emotions. Again, I'm just trying to review the best that I can with our final time together, our dialogues and our patterns with any of the questions, either where am I, when am I, or who am I listening to? Now, I do want to let you know that I have never engaged more than one of these approaches in a single session. So they take long enough and the emotional change is enough to just approach it from one angle in one session and save another angle for another session. It's just determining which one to use. And the more that you practice with this, the better you get a feel from it. The default is always going to be the where am I question. I would, you know, suggest, because it's so difficult, especially with challenging voices, the who am I listening to with the chairs can be very, very difficult, as you've seen, and that takes a little bit more finesse, but I do encourage you to play with it. And so the only time that I've ever used more than one approach in a single session is when I've tried something, let's just say the chair process, and it's not working, or I've tried a landscape and there's a huge amount of resistance. I will then say, let's just try the chair process, because I'm going to get resistance in a chair because I want to try to separate out resistance, that type of a thing. So those are, it's just a different tact that you want to try to take. And so one is not better than another. You just kind of get a feel for your study buddy or your client or yourself and try to feel into what feels best for you. Okay. So that's basically the recap that I wanted to give of the whole Envision process as we're bringing it all together. And then I'm going to move into lesson 5, working with allies, which we have to admit is so much more fun than working with challengers. And we're going to do a lot of coaching today, which should be, you know, really, really enjoyable. But first I want to you know, just cover a little bit about what Colette says about the difference between coaching and psychotherapy, because this question also came up last week from Paula. So I'm going to speak to it a little bit further and try not to over-discuss it or over-analyze it, but just try to give you some boundaries around what's coaching, what's just, you know, study buddying, what's personal development, and what is, you know, therapy. So, you know, the Envision process is provided only as a personal development tool, and it should just be seen as that. So study buddy pair-ups are to practice the tools and refine your ability to utilize the tools. It's not intended as a professional training, and it's not intended as a treatment. It's also not a healing modality. So the Envision process doesn't even explore, nor is it concerned with the question why. And our brain really wants to go there. And sometimes, you know, that is a part of a psychotherapeutic session. And it is not included in this process. As you've noticed throughout the 5 weeks, I'm steering you away and away and away from why, because that's not what we're looking for. And we don't have the training to determine, you know, a lot of whys or why we even want to go there. Okay. So you just want to try to remember that boundary, and you want to remember trying to not make, if you get into a session where you're feeling like I'm in over my head, a couple of things I want you to know. Number one, get your own boundaries in order. Just like when I make the transition for us dealing with emotions, we want to stay within ourselves. That's the biggest key I can tell you, is to learn and develop emotional boundaries. That's not this class, and so I can't go too much into that. But the more you are in your own body, in your own heart, in your own mind, the less you are going to be in others. The more grounded you are in yourself, the more sort of focused you are on yourself, the less you're going to be enmeshed with another or just allow another's energy. You're going to be able to feel that that energy is not mine and I'm going to stay within myself. Okay? So that is going to be your biggest key. Second key is going to be, I just stay with the process. I stay with where am I? I stay with the landscape. I don't go away from that. I stay with the process. I stay with the exploratory phase of different rooms in a house or different places in a hospital or, you know, hallways of a school or places where something, you know, tragic happened. So I stay with the process and I stay with what I've been taught and I don't veer from that. I stay with the chairs. I remember what the soul chair is. I remember what the personality chair is. I remember what the challenger chair is. And I modeled that last week when I would say, you're not really in the soul anymore. I'm going to have you move chairs so that we are in the right chair with the right emotion. Okay, so that's the best thing that I can say there. I do also want to say we just want to refrain from making any type of, you know, quote unquote diagnosis, like even saying, I think somebody's emotionally unstable. And we don't want to do that because, you know, it both sort of, you know, it sort of demonizes or makes other people who are either emotionally sensitive or having an emotional reaction, and we sort of make that not okay when it actually is okay. It's okay to have an emotional reaction. It's okay to be emotionally sensitive, and that doesn't mean that there's necessarily a diagnosis there, and often there isn't. So we want to be really, really careful about that. It's kind of in the culture right now, and I just want to ask us to refrain from that type of label and just work with what's there. And then having said that, making sure that we're not moving into that territory, I do also want to say that some of us, though, may have some psychological or emotional wounding that is best supported through the care of a professional that's either certified or licensed or is specifically in a healing therapeutic modality, that type of a thing. And the best way to determine that is for the person themselves. And so I encourage you to just really own what's going on with you, what you think is the best mode of operation for the best type of support that you can get, and to choose wisely there. And I know access is different for different people. I just want you to make the best choice for yourself that you can make. And, you know, if we could get better at this in the emotional and mental arena, it would go a long way in affecting our culture. And so just because our culture has a stigma around mental and emotional, you know, upset to any degree, whether it's, you know, schizophrenia or something on an axis one is what that's called, to anything to personality disorders, to grief, whatever that scale is, if we could just become a lot more compassionate about what is simply a human journey, we're going to be contributing to a field of health, okay? And so just because we have stigma around it doesn't mean it's really important, and what can be done on this level is invaluable, okay? So I also then want to say that if we have a cold, that is likely being able to be treated by ourselves with either some, you know, tinctures or something, you know, holistic, or if you want to just get some over-the-counter something to help you get through the day, it's going to pass right through you. It's going to be fine. But a persistent cough is becoming something more concerning. We might consider engaging someone else, right? And so then we want to get a professional opinion. Same with, you know, a scrape, easily handled. You know, a cut, not quite sure, got to check to see if I might need a stitch. A broken bone, I definitely need a professional for that. It's not something that my friends or my buddies or my neighbor can help me with if I want to have a good recovery and be able to have a leg or an arm that functions the best that it can, or even just like a cut. You know, do I want a really, really jagged scar, or would I like a professional to make it nice and smooth? That kind of a thing. We want to begin to have that type of discernment about our emotional and mental well-being as well, and just simply make wise choices there. And then the final thing that I would say about that is, just like if we have a gaping open physical wound, you know, if we, you know, are bleeding profusely, most people, our friends, our families, our buddies, our neighbors, are going to just sort of be in shock and recoil from that and not be able to help you. It's going to be traumatizing just to see it. The same can also go for some of our heavy emotions and some of our emotional wounding and the traumas that we've been through. They are simply not for, you know, the casual person in our lives. It's best handled in the care of another. Okay? So we want to use the physical, emotional, and mental health of all of us along the same spectrum and use really good common sense there. Okay? So having said that, that doesn't mean that when we're engaging with the Envision process, there can't be healing that does occur as a byproduct. Because when we're engaged with the Envision process and we're able to own more of our emotions and we're able to get more distance from them and we're able to make different choices, there is going to be some healing as a natural byproduct from that. So it can be healing, but it's not a specific healing modality. We can become more emotionally well, we can become more psychologically well, but it doesn't treat psychological and emotional disorders. Okay? So I think that that's about as much as I want to say on that, and I think that you guys can get the gist of what I'm saying, and I hope that that helps. The better we can keep a boundary in any place, that just keeps all of us safe and all of us healthy. Okay. I am going to then talk a little bit about allies this week, okay? So instead of putting the challenger in the chair this week, we are going to put an ally in the chair, and we're just going to kind of go back and forth between what would be better instead of what, you know, we're being challenged with. And so it's similar to giving it a new job. The way we're going to give it a new job is kind of by giving it a new archetype, right? And so part of this that's a little bit different than the examples that I used last week is often what shows up in a goblin chair is a really wounded, smaller, young part of ourselves. And my contention is that the young parts of ourselves, really, even our teenage selves, you know, they don't need a job, right? So I don't really like to have it a job. Mostly I'd like to see them playing. I'd like to see them not in charge of adult responsibilities, right? But if you have something really, really persistent that's kind of, you know, sitting in that adult place of, you know, I'm running, you know, the show to such a level that it doesn't feel young, it feels really powerful, then we do need to give it a different job, right? And so what we want to do is sort of similar to the landscapes. When we're in a landscape of fear, and we would much rather be in a experience a landscape of empowerment or of confidence, we can go visit power and confidence instead of having, you know, somebody that's criticizing us in order to keep us safe. We want to instead engage a cheerleader instead of a critic. We want to, you know, engage instead of a judgmental goblin. What we want to do is, you know, engage a, you know, somebody who's really discerning and good at pros and cons, you know, wise counselor. That's what we want to give them the job of. You know, instead of somebody that's chronically hypervigilant, we want to go ahead and make them a sentinel where they stand guard. They stand guard and they look out, but they don't, you know, continue to, you know, really prey on us. We have them face out instead of within, and we let them take care of the job in a different manner such that they're an ally to us instead of, you know, draining our energy. So any archetype that you can think of, like a priestess or a goddess or a muse, even a superhero, again, cheerleader, anything like that can be used as an ally for us to sit in that chair and feel the energy of what it feels like to be that and utilize that as we move forward. So that's what we're going to be doing today when we, you know, go over the using the chair process for allies. In addition to any of the archetypes that I just covered, Colette also introduces from her book, The Map, two archetypes, the Bone Collector and the Gentle Gardener, that can be used as allies as well. They're really wonderful characters that can add to, you know, your group of people, your group of allies, because you might as well have like a whole team of allies that you go to help you when you're stuck or in an energy that's not helping you. And so I really recommend listening to those MP3s and, you know, engaging the process with those two, you know, women, as I call them. They're really wonderful. And when you're in the energy of the Bone Collector and the Gentle Gardener, it's incredibly grounding and really, really helpful. So she gives lots of home play exercises that I want you to engage with. And just like the home play exercises along the way, it's really, really fruitful to engage with these exercises. The boardroom exercise is, you know, better experienced personally. Like, I'm going to make sure that I coach with that tonight so you get an idea of what that's like. And that's just seeing what subpersonalities are currently active in your field right now. And so, just like other things, what's happening now may not be what's happening in your now moment later. We just get a snapshot of the reflection of who's active in your field, you know, in terms of a subpersonality and what might be happening and how we might work with those. So I'm going to use that as an example today, as well as an ally chair example. So that is my quick review. I'm going to go ahead and ask for any questions that people might have. I'm going to go to the Facebook page first, and Brenda, do the old call? No, the old calls do not come back. It's too hard for them to manage too many calls. The primary feedback that we get is it's too much information in too short a time, so we don't add the old calls back. Okay. So that answers that question. And now I'm going to just look at the Q&A on the web. Hang on one second. I got to refresh there. Oh, thank you for more love, support, and birthday greetings. I appreciate that from Lisa and Janie and Rosemary. Thank you so much. Okay. And then anyone else have you can any question that any of you might have about any of the material up so far or any processes you've tried before I move into the coaching for tonight, you can go ahead and press star 2 on your keypad. Nope. Okay. All right. I'm going to try to keep my, you know, eye on the page to the best of my ability. And we're going to move to the coaching. And when we're working with allies, it's not nearly as, you know, emotional as when we're working with challengers. But let's just go ahead and practice grounding ourselves within ourselves. Let's take a nice deep breath in. And exhale. And I just want you to feel yourself sink your awareness deep into your body. I'm assuming most of you are sitting listening to this. Like really feel your awareness down through your heart, into your gut, down into your hips. Just ground yourself in your own body. Be present with yourself in your body as we listen coming forward. And let's go ahead and take a nice deep breath in. And exhale. And then I think that's going to be enough. I don't think we need to go ahead and bring in colors and shapes. You can do that on your own if you're feeling hypersensitive tonight. Or you can also, at any time that you feel yourself leaving your energy and taking on the energy of someone else, just remember to use that naming or counting where you just name, start listing out loud everything in your environment that you see. And that should bring you back into the present moment. Okay? So now, if somebody has chairs available and would like to be coached using the two-chair process that was covered in the module today, go ahead and raise your hand, press star 2, and I will be happy to coach you with the ally process here. Nobody yet. I'm going to go ahead and hit refresh just to make sure that I'm not missing anybody, because that can happen. Okay, a hand just went up. Thanks so much. I'm going to unmute you. And it looks like Erica, is that you?
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Erica?
Good, thank you.
Good. You have chairs available?
I do.
You do? Okay, great, great. So, great, super. So, we're going to try to do a little bit of the challenger and ally together. Okay. And so do you have an idea of, you know, sort of a challenging voice that's happening with you that you wanted to work with today?
How about this? I am struggling with the thought of perhaps getting pregnant again.
Okay. And as you're struggling with that, and what is sort of some of the critical thoughts that come up with that?
Too old, too tired.
Yeah.
My life will be on hold if I do get pregnant. Scared of another miscarriage.
Yeah. There's a lot of, so there's ambivalence and there's, yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and have the, chairs facing each other. Are you able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm going to have you go ahead and sit in the chair of, this real both, there's a lot going on with this. It's a huge subject, right? No wonder you're having trouble with it, right?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, right? So let's just sit in there and we'll just try on, a couple of different things. Because also, right, when I don't want to put, words or project an experience onto you. But in general, right, when any of us women are having difficulty, conceiving, it just feels like somehow we're failing at what we were sort of born to do. Or that our body has betrayed us, or that there's something wrong with us. Is any of that sticking with you?
Yes. All of them.
All of them. Okay. Okay. So we're just going to sit in that, and then we're going to, sit with, go ahead and sit with, that, and then sit with I'm too old, and sit with I'm not even sure I want to do this. And then just tell me which voice feels the strongest.
I'm too old.
I'm too old, right? So let's sit in that, right? We feel sad about that, right?
Yeah.
I'm too old. Yes. Okay. And so as you're sitting there, what are you feeling like? I just kind of wish I was younger. Is that accurate?
Yes. I wish I would have started earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I regret waiting for the right time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you so much for being so open and honest with us. And I just want you to sort of feel how compassionate and wonderful it is to hold that voice with love and without criticism, even as we're feeling it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Totally understandable. Totally natural. Okay? Now, I'm going to have you go ahead and sit in the chair across from you. And in this chair is the energy of really, really young, timeless, never too late energy. Mm-hmm. Can you feel into that? Never too late for anything in life. There's energy for all things. There's tremendous, it feels youth and vigor. Vitality is ageless. Health is ageless, timeless. Can you feel that?
Yeah, my heart felt lighter.
Lighter, yes. So feel into this, right? That, you know, vitality is runs through all of us. Life is a gift. It's given to all of us. Life is unending until we're gone. Youth is more of a feeling than an age.
Yes.
Right? Everything is possible in the field of life. Is that not accurate?
I believe so.
Yeah, so see if you can feel into that energy. That's where that energy is sitting right here and right now.
Oh, okay.
Feel into youth. Feel into vigor. Feel into vitality. Youth, vigor, vitality. And as if that were a person, see what kind of shows up. If this were, you know, an archetype, what is the feeling you're getting in here? Try to feel it. Don't think it.
Yeah, I got an image of just possibilities of it feels hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's feeling a little bit like a cheerleader. Is that accurate?
Yes. There's like an entity in front of me, trying to reach to me, and kind of saying, "You can try again."
Yes, trying to reach to you in the other chair. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to have you go back to the other chair quick.
Okay. Okay, done.
And then I want you to see that entity in the ally chair. Can you see it?
Yes.
Yes. Do you see? And I want you to go right back in there and sit in it. Sit in that energy. Sit in it. Go right back over. Sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I want you to be it. Speak it. What is it speaking?
I'm ready. I've done a lot of healing.
Okay, nope, go back. Go back. That's you. That's not the cheerleader. Back to the other chair.
Back to the chair. Okay.
Okay. Right? So this takes a little finesse, right? We're just trying to remember we're working with energy. It's okay, right? But already we're on a roll here, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, right? So we have this. You had the feeling. It was. Tell me a little bit about what was reaching for you when you're in this chair. Tell me a little bit more about what you were saying about the energy that was reaching for you.
It was reaching with the fresh breath. It felt like cool and inviting at the same time. And it was reaching and kind of like asking me, kind of like pointing forward, kind of like, it's right, it's time. You can do it again.
It's time. You can do it again. So that's feeling like a little different than a cheerleader, right? What does that feel like to you?
Like a mother.
Yeah, it's feeling like a mentor mother. Yeah, I sort of like that, right? So, yeah. So let's see if you can't look over at that chair and see if you can't feel or imagine just like the healthiest of mother energies. Right?
Yes.
So loving and caring, that energy, right? Just patient and kind and right there with us when we need it, with the most feminine, loving, supportive energy. Yeah?
Yes.
Yep. Go sit over there. Go sit over there and see if you can feel it. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so now really embody this feeling of this beautiful divine mother energy that's saying, it's time. You can do this. I'm also feeling like all is well. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I got an image of me holding a baby.
So sit in that. See if you can't just hold that baby right now. Be in this. I'm holding my baby. The time was now. All is well. I can do this. Right? It feels really wise to me. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yes. And supportive, and that's why I'm sort of getting it's a little bit of an older, you know, mother energy, right? Like, you know, sort of above in the line. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Feel into this truth, this message that's coming, this ally that has shown up instead of the worry.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you feeling in this chair?
I feel that it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay.
Okay. Right? Now go back to the other chair.
Okay.
And let's now, how are you feeling over here?
Oh, happy.
Happy, yeah. So it's kind of what's happened, right, is the goblin has the new job. And the goblin is now the ally, so this chair is just your personality now.
Okay.
Can you feel that?
Yes.
Yeah, so that energy, so let's just sort of see that the energy of the goblin, because it has a new place and a new direction for all of that energy that was causing the sadness and the worry and the ambivalence and the fear and the judgment, taking all of that energy from that ball and putting it somewhere else into the wise, motherly, truth-telling guidance part. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and we want to just hold this truth, right, that all of, you know, it, so we want to try to really experience that all of life is energy, and what we want to do is just try to guide it a little better, give it a place to go, a little more, you know, productive, more pro-life, I would even call it, progenerative expansion is the word I'm looking for, right? You know, instead of it being stuck and swirling, we want to expand it into something fruitful, right?
Correct.
So I wasn't quite sure what would show up or what would be best. And now I'm just kind of do some teaching, if that's okay. You can hang on with me for a bit, Erica, if that's okay.
Good.
You know, we can do one of two things. We can decide ahead of time, like, I want a superhero, or I want, you know, the feeling of a cheerleader, or I want the feeling of, a queen, or I want, and we can try that on, or we can do what I just did, which is what I generally like to do, is I want to see where sort of the goblin wants to go. Does that make sense? Where that energy is feeling and sensing is appropriate for you, right? So we want to trust what comes up. Right. And so, you know, it is possible, right, that some energy, what energy that may have come up was, it's okay if you don't want to do it. Right. Isn't that what something that was possible?
Yes.
But that energy didn't come.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we want to trust what comes up instead of thinking that one is right or one is wrong. Right? We want to trust that we ourselves know ourselves better than we think. We want to trust that the universe is on our side and leading and guiding us either into what we're, you know, afraid to do or away from what we are trying to control.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, great.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just, and then you just want to try to remember that if, you know, along your journey, because it's a very difficult journey and, you know, it's emotional, it's psychological, it's medical, it's a lot, right? Right. When you feel, you know, a little enmeshed, or you start to fall back into that old way of thinking, or you have too many voices in your head, just get mm-hmm. out that chair and remember, I need to sit in this, you know, divine mother energy and listen to it instead of to the other voices.
Thank you so much. I didn't know how to get out of my head on that one.
Okay. Well, you're very welcome. And thank you so much for being so brave to be an example for us, because we so appreciate it. And now you know, how do I get out of my head? I can use a landscape or a couple of chairs.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. Right.
Thank you very much, Erica. I appreciate it. Okay, now I know there was another hand up, and it's down now. Would anybody else like to give this a try to experience the two-chair process here? Star two for anyone? No? All right, I'm going to go ahead and offer that boardroom exercise, which is where we kind of hold a meeting, and we see what sub-personalities show up, and we can get an idea of what's running in our system beyond just a singular emotion or voice. So would anybody be willing to volunteer for that? Star two to raise your hand. Not seeing anybody. Oh, there we go. We got someone. And it looks like it is. This Nicole again?
Yes, it is.
Well, I so appreciate you being willing to, you know, be an example for everybody. And I do think, right, you are, you know, taking full advantage of this class. So good.
Yes,
for you.
I am.
Right? I admire that. That's a good call.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Brenda, I'm sorry, hang on. So, Brenda, you're on the Facebook page. I'm sorry, I'm going to speak with Brenda. She's on the Facebook page. So you have to use a phone to call in, Brenda. So you click on the call in the where it says in the Facebook page, return to this page to attend this event. You have to click on that page. And it will take you, click on that link that says welcome to the conference. And then you either phone in, you web call, or the broadcast. You select any of those three, and that's how you get in. So you have to click on it. I guess that's something that you didn't quite get. So click on the original post that's pinned to the top about our final call, and that is how you call in. And I just did it, so it works quite well. Okay? So tell me, Nicole, what you would like to work on here? What's coming up for you in terms of, you know, voices? We're working with the voice dialogue in this method. Or did you want to try the boardroom?
So with the boardroom, is it more positive?
So, you know, I'll just, you know, I'm just going to do a little bit of coaching here, right? So, all of these processes leads us to power and the power to choose and a better place than we were. Right?
I'm not
quite understanding.
Okay.
Right. What do you mean by is it more positive, right? And because we're using these processes to get us to be able to move from a very uncomfortable place or a place of stuckness to a different place. But judging them is like part of the problem.
Right.
Judging where we are is right. And then also, right, remember each time you've done this, right, you've grown and expanded and learned.
Totally.
Right?
Yes, completely.
Right. So, you know, right now you have me as the witness to this as well, right? That you really did not move much when you just kept trying to be happy.
True.
Right?
Completely true. Yeah.
So you already know how to stay happy, and you already know that that is actually not integral, or you wouldn't be on these calls.
You are completely right.
Right? So we want to live, you know, an integral life feels good, right? And so, yes. And we, you know, and I've been saying each week, right, we don't want to fear our emotions.
Yes.
Right? So. Right? Uh-huh. So, like, is that what we're going to call fear negative? So I just want to, want to talk about
that's
this.
Perfect.
No, I mean, do we really want to call fear negative? Because fear
I see.
This is what I'm saying, right? This is part of what's in the spiritual world right now, like the law of attraction. We have to pretend things are good and you just stay there. And, you know, that is like a real problem and a misunderstanding of what it is to be a human being.
So true.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And so we don't want to train ourselves to fear emotion. Because that's how it controls us. Right?
Okay.
That's,
yeah. Completely.
Right? That's, and it keeps us completely small and not able to live our intention. And if we're afraid of making a mistake or if we're afraid of having a hard conversation or two or three or ten, we will stay afraid and small for the rest of our lives. And there's nothing positive about that. Right?
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
Right? This is why you're in this class. This is
why
you keep showing up, right? So, I just want to, right? We got it. So, do you see how this is what's true?
Yeah.
And did you see how it was powerful for Erica to sit in the chair and tell the truth about all of that complicated emotions and how there's not one moment where I felt or held that as negative?
Yes. So true.
Right? You have the capacity to be able to do that. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, right? So I did not come out of the womb able to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Right? These are all skills that we can learn, and this is also what, you know, we're learning. You know, this is one approach to it. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Sounds great.
Okay, so let's go ahead and try the boardroom, right? And we want to, again, we're going to hold the feeling of being willing to be surprised, even if we're surprised by something that might scare us or that you currently view as negative. Okay?
Okay.
We're just going to be brave about it, okay? And we've got, you know, everybody on the call, right? This whole community is very supportive, and we're just cheering and holding in deep respect, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to just start this way, you know, just we're going to ease on into it. And I just want you to, you know, close your eyes and we're just going to intend that we're just going to have a gathering or a meeting. Like it doesn't have to be a boardroom. We call it the boardroom, but it can be anything. It can be any place where we have people come together. And so, you know, this is the intention. We're just going to have a meeting where we want to, you know, hear from everybody. And so I'm going to start way back with, let's just see, is there an image of a structure or a place, not a room, but the actual outside structure of a place where this meeting is going to be held? Do you see anything?
Yeah, I see a white circular building.
A white circular building. Okay, great. And we're going to go on up to the door and just tell me a little bit about the door.
It's a big white door.
Okay.
It's just.
And is there like an address or anything on it?
It's 111.
111. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and go in this building at address 111. And, you know, as you go in, just tell me what you see in the building.
It's all white, and there's white couches.
Okay. And so let me just ask you this. Do you like white?
I do.
You do. Okay. 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 Great. Okay. And so does it feel like all the white couches that are there, does this feel like where the meeting's going to be, or is the meeting on a different floor?
Yeah, I think this is where it's supposed to be.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to have you go ahead and sit down, you know, where the couches are. And are the is the seating in a circular arrangement?
No, it's actually an L.
It's an L. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I want you to sit wherever it feels like would be the proper head of the table, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And where did you choose to sit?
In the middle.
Okay. Okay. And then as we sit there, we're just going to intend that, you know, the meeting is open and anyone is welcome to join to be able to be heard today. And then just tell me who comes into the place and joins the meeting. And just, you know, they should come in one by one, and you just tell me who joined you.
Like a motion, or like how would I?
No, there should be like characters that come in.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily have to be people.
People, right. Okay.
When I did it for me, when I've done it, it was always people.
Uh-huh.
I've done it for someone who, like a stoned elephant showed up, right?
Okay.
So
uh-huh.
Whoever comes, we're just inviting, not projecting. And again,
right.
We want to be surprised.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, give it a minute and be relaxed and see who shows up.
An angel showed up.
Okay, great. So the angel comes in, and we're going to go ahead and let the angel choose her place to sit. And where does she sit in relation to you?
She sits on the far end, like, I don't know how I would explain this. Like the L, the short part of the L.
Okay. And are you sitting at the crux of the L? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying, yeah.
Uh-huh. So she sort of sits near you because it's the
yeah.
shorter part.
Yeah.
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 And
yeah.
Is she on your left or your right?
On my right.
Okay. Okay, great. We want to say thanks for coming. You're appreciated. We're going to get started soon. And let's just see if anybody else shows up. Just relaxed about it. And what are you feeling as
horse.
You sit there? A horse shows up, okay?
Yeah.
And what color is the horse?
It's brown.
Okay. And where would the horse like to be?
It's like standing on the side, but the far side.
Okay.
So on the opposite of where the angel is.
Okay, great. And then we're just going to, just to check, does the horse have a name or does the angel have a name? They don't have to, but we're just checking. We're just engaging.
No, I'm not feeling anything.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, we're just checking. So now let's just see. We're going to call and see if anyone else would like to join.
A bird flew in.
A bird flew in. Okay, and can you tell what kind of bird it is?
It's like a little tiny one. Like a, I don't know what kind.
Okay.
It has a little black head and then, like, brown on it. It's like one of those small little birds.
Yeah, I wonder. It might be a chickadee.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. But there is the thing called a black-capped chickadee. So,
okay.
that may be it. So it's actually the kind of bird that does that mating call that's like, whoo, is it?
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll just go with that for now. Okay.
Okay.
And where does the bird land?
It goes in between me and the horse. In the
okay.
center.
Okay, great. And then any other person coming through or animal or character?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. So we're going to be glad that everybody came, right? And I'm just curious, right, as you kind of sat in the middle and we've got the angel on, you know, your left, and then we've got the bird and then the horse on your right. Is that correct?
Or switched. Sorry, switched.
Oh, sorry, that's right. I drew it backward. Got it. So the angel's on your right, and then the bird and the horse are on your left. Got it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm just curious, right? Everybody has a lot of space. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just interesting to me, right, that we're really spacing out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel to you?
It's kind of strange. It's just the space hole, like it's just...
We're all very separated.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just going to make a note of that, right? We're all very separated. So we just notice and we're curious about it, right? So let's go ahead and just chat with the angel and ask the angel what it would like to say and what it would like to contribute to this gathering.
The angel says that this is safe, a safe place.
Okay, good to know.
It's telling me that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Should I explain?
You don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, were you, okay, great. And then anything else? Try not to make it up. Just listen.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They said this is the right path.
Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so say something more than this.
So it's kind of explaining to me that what I'm doing with meditation and just focusing on my thoughts.
Okay.
Like what I'm doing is right. Like it's
okay. So like your path of personal development and the techniques that you're using are spot on for you. Is that accurate?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay. And so that's super. So then let's go ahead and ask the horse what it would like to contribute.
The bird wants to talk.
Oh, great. Super. So don't we love this when they take, so let's hear what the bird has to say.
That I need to focus on me. And I need to allow for my emotions to come out and for myself to grow by, there's more. Sorry, hold on.
It's okay.
Okay, but I really need to focus. I really need to focus on what my plans are and my goals and not allow for people to be in the way of that and to focus on myself rather than other people, that I'm focusing too much on my relationship instead of myself.
Okay. How does that feel like accurate wise counsel or do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Accurate for sure.
Okay. And anything else the bird would like to?
I'm stopping myself from growing. I'm the one who's in control of my life, and I need to completely take control and allow for my dreams and all of the plans that I have and that I've written down to happen. And I'm the only one stopping myself.
Okay.
Yeah, the bird's done.
Okay. All right, let's see if the horse would like to add anything. So I do want to say that in general, these are aspects of the personality, and you sure seem to be getting a lot of advice instead of expression. So I just want to throw that into the field, right? So let's just see what the horse has to say.
The horse is saying to allow for fear to not be so apparent anymore and just to allow for, I don't know how to explain it.
Allow fear to be present, is that?
Yes.
And kind of don't fear fear?
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the horse isn't saying much more.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I just want you to feel into this, and then, you know, we're you know, intending that the different parts of our personality. So I'm just curious, are you someone that tends to give a lot of advice or seek a lot of advice?
Or give. Give.
Give, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the internal world, it sounds like, it's trying to give you advice instead of keep putting the advice out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound accurate?
Yes.
Would it sound accurate to say, I imagine, if perhaps you should be taking your own advice?
Yes, completely.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, the feel within is the advice needs to come inward instead of go outward.
Yes.
Is that right?
Now,
right, if that's true, right, that can explain a little bit of the separate up, right? You're separate from your own advice.
Yes.
Instead
wow.
of instead of like intimate and close with it.
Right.
Mhm.
And it's like I already know these things, and that's why I give the advice, but I like don't take my own advice.
So, yeah, you know, these things, right, they're meant for us. They're really not, right? It's not, you know, like even, I just want to just even model like for this class, right? I'm like supposed to be the teacher and I'm not giving advice.
Right?
I'm, you know, planting instruction for all of us to be able to be, you know, in ownership of our lives and not in ownership of other lives. Right?
Right.
And the most powerful lessons that we can, or impact we can have, is through example, not by words. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, definitely. So let's take this in and see if we can't, can they come closer to you? Can you invite them closer? Can you sit closer to the angel and the bird and the horse? And what happens if you do?
I'm starting to feel calmer. I was really shaky.
Okay. Yeah. So you're feeling calm instead of shaky, which is good, right? So do these three individuals feel like allies to you?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to remember that. But the thing is, I got to say, there's no way there's no goblin acting out for you. So there's someone that is unrepresented here. So I would like you to look under the couch. And see if there's anybody hiding under the couch.
A blackbird.
A blackbird. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like a crow or a raven.
Okay, a raven. Okay, great. So what would the raven like to add to this discussion?
That I've allowed this to happen and for situations to keep reoccurring.
And so, and you know what the this is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the only thing I'm trying to get to is that I think it would be really helpful because, again, this is like advice and judgy, right?
Uh-huh.
Which
right.
isn't really, so like a goblin is going to feel like I am scared and I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And you guys are pissing me off, and I don't want to listen to the angel.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, so I want them at the meeting, because that's what this
okay.
is about. Mm-hmm. So just allow, because, and let's just say this, right? You know, this part of you is really afraid of you, because you just want to deny it, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to let it be welcome, right? So I'm here to help. You know enough to know that you're safe in the presence of it. We have three other allies with you. It's safe for this part of you to show up and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's running at the scenes, you know, it's running the show still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's and saying how... It's scared and it's afraid of being alone and not being comfortable.
Okay. And who is the, is this the crow?
Yeah, the crow.
Okay. Okay, so it's afraid of being alone and not being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you relate to that?
Yeah.
Okay, right? How wonderful
mm-hmm.
is that to name that and have
mm-hmm.
compassion for that? Right? And so as
yeah.
we just, anything, ask it, does it have anything else to say? I'm afraid of being alone and uncomfortable. Now's the moment. We've got, right, we've got an angel, we've
yeah.
got a, you know, we've got, there's a lot of support. Like, we want to bring, what we're doing is turning not just your advice, but all of your love, kindness, compassion, joy, divinity, empowerment. So, like, the chickadee is joyful, the angel is full of divinity, the horse is full of empowerment and movement and strength. You have all of this at your disposal at the table. Let's turn it toward the crow and let it feel safe and heard and okay.
It just keeps saying it's scared.
Okay.
And it's afraid for a change.
Okay. And
yeah.
what else?
It feels embarrassed.
Hmm. Okay. So, good to know. And so as we sit, let's just bring, let's invite it in a little closer to the circle. And let's just acknowledge that nobody wants to be alone or uncomfortable or to change. That's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. There's not much to be embarrassed about from that. But as we sit there, like, I'm not, even in your own self, right, I'm not feeling a lot of strength in that. So tell me from your own perspective now, what are you experiencing in this couch universe?
I definitely am still a little shaky, but less shakier now.
Well,
what's
your feeling toward the raven? Like, seriously, look at it.
Like, uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable with the raven?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I'm feeling a little better about it, but just a little.
Yeah, right. We just want to be, right? And so how does the angel feel about the raven?
The angel feels fine.
Fine with the raven. So what would the angel say to the raven?
That everything's going to be okay. You're safe and you're at peace and you have love and peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about the horse?
The horse says that it has strength and it can always fly. And it's, everything's good, everything's okay.
Okay, and the chickadee?
The chickadee is saying that it's like a little scared.
Okay.
But it's saying that it's like just talking to it, but I'm not understanding.
Okay. They're having their own little conversation. Yeah. The birds are. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So, I think this is also just reflecting a little bit, right? Because chickadees are really joyful and flitty and float, right?
You know? So happy.
Yeah, but I think, right, that it's resonating with the fear, right?
Yeah,
I think the chickadee is a bit of a goblin with a happy face.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And, right.
That was
so
good.
Okay. Good. Though. Yeah. The raven and the chickadee get along because they get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. They can relate with each other.
Okay. Super. Right.
The,
so let's.
The chickadee is the happy face, like where the raven is showing itself.
Yeah. The raven's just, it seems like. So when you just you yourself think of a raven, what is the first thing that you think of that it means?
Fearful.
It means fear to you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So let's just see if there isn't a way that we can help both the raven and the chickadee feel safe with the horse and the angel and you. What would make them feel safe? Let's ask them. What do you need to feel safe?
Acceptance.
From whom?
And love. From me.
Okay. And is that true? I mean, I'm just curious. Do you feel like you just need your own love and acceptance, or are they feeling like they need love and acceptance from others as well?
I think it's myself that I need it from. Yeah.
Okay. So they need love and acceptance. Are you willing to give it?
Yes.
Okay. And is the angel in the horse?
Yes.
Okay. Great. What else do they need?
That's all. They said just love, a lot of love,
mm-hmm.
and just accepting that part.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can't get like a little, you know, to the best of the, you know, awkward ability to have like a group, like let's all come together holding hands or in a hug to support all parts of you. Everybody gets a seat at the table. Everybody gets to express how they feel. Doesn't need to be dominant, but there certainly is more grounded, allied, stronger energy. I'm really feeling that the angel energy and the horse energy is much stronger than the chickadee and the raven, even though they're scared.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So I want you to soak that truth in and get this redistributed in a more truthful way, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your body. Can you feel that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So, and we want to feel the strength that was always present, the divinity and the soul connection and the, you know, the personal development work, the strength of that, the knowledge of that, the knowing of that, the knowing you already know you're on the right path. You know you have these connections. You know that you're strong. And then you also have these parts of you that are afraid of quote-unquote negative things. Then you kind of put on a happy face and flit around and think, you know, because sometimes people, like a raven, does it mean death to you?
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that I love ravens. That's the crazy part, that this came in, you know?
Okay.
It's so interesting.
Well, I think it's sort of showing you this juxtaposition of, you know, that somehow fear is one-sided or only is one thing.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So there can be, you know, a real amount of, you know, like let's just even say the raven is going to be instead, it's an omen and a carrier of prophecy of fear. Look at it differently. Look at it differently. Accept the wisdom of it, right? Because in general, fear keeps us safe. Like if we're afraid of something, in general, if it's legitimate, it is a lifesaver, right?
Uh-huh.
But when we're running it, when it doesn't mean anything, it's a life killer, right? So change,
right.
You know. And so let's let the bigger, deeper story emerge here that the raven is also holding, right? So we've got the strength of the raven. And let's just let the, can the chickadee just sit and not flit around and be sort of in the middle and absorb the love of the group?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And just let it feel the love of the group. And let it be calm and not have to do anything or pretend anything. And as it's surrounded by that, what's happening here?
It's definitely feeling calmer now.
Okay.
I feel calmer too.
Yeah, good, good. Good, good, right? So let's just feel the surrounding of, you know, so much more wisdom, love, perspective that allows the chickadee, the, you know, part of you to be, but not be dominant. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
Okay. Okay, good. And so I think those are the main, you know, factors that have shown up. And you feel pretty grounded to me. Are you feeling good?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Much
and then just,
better.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about what you make of this experience and what this meant for you. Because this is also something we would do in a coaching session or when you're doing the study, buddy. It's not just the process itself. But like the
right.
meaning of it, the primary meaning comes from the person experiencing it themselves. So tell me a little bit about what that meant for you and what your take on it is.
So it's really interesting because just how you were saying with like the happy face and then with the chickadee, like that is just spot on. Like it, and that made me feel more grounded once we discovered that and were able to put a name on it and really realize what it was. Like, that was a goblin, but in disguise. Like, mm-hmm. and that's, it's like my persona. Like, I always am just happy, happy, happy when maybe I'm not really feeling that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really, really cool because that just really helped to ground me and understand more mm-hmm. of what it is that I'm experiencing every day. But it was really cool. I feel so much better right now. It's insane. Like, just, I was, like, really shaky the entire call, or the entire, yeah, the entire time we've been on this call. And I don't know, you could kind of hear it in my voice. I could kind of hear it. Just, like, the, just, I was shaking my leg and stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just much calmer now. Like, it's just, it's crazy. I feel just, like, a weight was lifted. Like, just, I understand myself better and understand these people and who it is that is inside of me. Like, it's interesting. Like, it was a good way to see myself better.
Yes. Really. And also, you're together now, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's
right?
not so separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The separation mm-hmm. part was really interesting with on the couch. That's really, that's just crazy. You can't make this up. You really can't.
That's right.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And then you can also look, you know, because I just gave, you know, the cursory sort of, you know, symbolism of the horse and the angel and the chickadee and the raven, right? So you can look in, into that a little bit further to sort of see if there's more messages for you on your journey, right? And then, you know, you can just sort of feel yourself a more whole and together as you make choices moving forward. And just remember, right, the focus on yourself is good. The focus on others, not so great. There's habits going on. I can interrupt them. I don't want to judge them. I just want to choose differently.
Yes, exactly.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, excellent.
Really
Very
cool.
great example. Thank you so much, Nicole. I so appreciate
you
being
willing.
Thank you so
much,
Sarah. You're very welcome.
You're so sweet. I really appreciate it. That was so helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was a great example of the boardroom. And so I just want to say a couple of things, right? We're just going to allow who shows up to show up, right? So that's either people or it's characters or it's animals or it's angels. And, you know, there in general is going to be a part of us that isn't that healthy, that is active in us, that shows up. And so if we don't first recognize it, we want to go ahead and look for it. So if you're in like a boardroom, you look under the table or you look behind the door, you just want to make sure that everybody who might be a little bit hesitant within you is invited to the table. Right? So this is just another sort of analogy of everybody's welcome at the table. Every part of us in its entirety, in its integrity, gets to exist, gets to have a voice, and is beneficial for us having paid attention to it and have heard it. Right? It helps us to move forward and helps us, like Nicole said, to understand ourselves better. Okay, so anyone else like to be coached in either the boardroom or the ally process or any of the processes, really? So just press star 2 to raise your hand. And as anybody does that, I'm going to check the Q&A one more time on the webcast, which is different than the Facebook page. Refresh. Just, you know. Thank you for the encouragement. Okay, great. We appreciate that. Everybody's supporting everybody. And it looks like, it looks like you can't raise your hand if you're on the phone. So I apologize for that. I only have a laptop that I, you know, do this with. So I'm not quite sure. The international access must have to come through Skype, I guess. So apologies to our international people participating in the process here. Okay, so this is it, guys. This is your last, you know, sort of live call access to me, verbally speaking, helping you through whatever you need. So anybody else, star 2, raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to be quitting a little early. there's got to be some more brave people, because it just really serves to also help with the education as well as the experience yourself. Here we go. Great. We got Kathy from Portland on the line. Kathy, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for raising your hand. It just gives, we'll get one more example here. It'll help everybody. So tell me how you're feeling and what you think would be good to work on, and if you have a preference with the processes here.
I was kind of doing the boardroom along with Nicole there.
Okay.
And I didn't really understand the part about how I was feeling, but I had quite a list of characters that they all make sense to me. And
let's go ahead and you just sort of, you know, be sort of in that room. Tell me a little bit about what is the setting of your meeting.
It's kind of in an outdoor, maybe in a forest, but it's inside in a building, but it's kind of, and there's probably a lot of windows so you can see the trees on the outside, but we're inside.
Okay. Okay. And then, so you're inside of a building, and but you have lots of windows, and it, the building itself is in like a really wooded area. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. And then what kind of room are you in?
It's kind of like almost like a cathedral room, you know, like there's probably one, it's one big, it's not a church, but it's like a, like one big room with big ceilings. And like I said, there's a lot of, windows all
mm-hmm.
around.
Is there a table?
I'm at a, like a half circle table.
Half circle table. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And so just tell me, you know, who's at the table with you and where they are, you know, in relative to you?
So again, I took the center position, and to the immediate right is a firefighter. To
okay.
the immediate left is a tightrope walker.
Okay.
And then second to the right is a drunk.
Okay.
Third to the right is a bear.
Okay.
And then on the other side, after the tightrope walker, is the angel Gabriel. And then a peacock, and then Mary Magdalene. So, like I said, quite a menagerie of people there.
Yeah. Okay. So
the
I'm going to.
I don't really understand why he's there. I don't have any.
Well, yeah, we're going to. Well, and also, like, let's not assume that we know exactly why everyone's there if they haven't spoken.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So we don't want to get ahead of it, right? And so also this in general is, you know, aspects of our personality showing up. So I just want to speak a little bit with Angel Gabriel and Mary Magdalene and
mm-hmm.
just have, you know, who, you know, just curious about their showing up, because they're, right, not you, right? They're their own people.
Yeah.
Right? So let's start with them, why they, you know, let's go ahead and start with Mary Magdalene. And
so I feel that Mary Magdalene perhaps is here.
So let's ask her.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Let's
ask her. So Mary, we appreciate you coming, and we're just curious as to your role here.
I'm here to support Kathy in all her majesty as a female. She is very powerful, yet doesn't always believe in her sensual self. And I'm here to help her with that.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. We appreciate your presence. And how about Angel Gabriel now?
I'm Angel Gabriel. I am here with Kathy as a...
So try to really listen, right?
A protector.
Okay. From
from negative forces around her.
Okay, because we're just having a meeting about herself. I don't know, right? That's all. Yeah. I'm just, right? We're just having a meeting. I don't know, right? She doesn't need to be protected from herself, I don't imagine.
So I've gathered, the people in the boardroom have been gathered for what particular reason then?
No, I'm just like, so there are parts of your personality that show up so we can get a snapshot of what's going on with you internally. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Mary Magdalene and Angel Gabriel are not parts of you. They might be mentors, but they're not you.
Oh,
right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, right?
They tag along with me all the time.
Well, if that's interesting, if they tag along, but that's why I want you to sort of listen to them instead of assume why they're there. Right.
Okay.
So that's why, right? Angel Gabriel is a protector, and we're just talking about you, and I can't imagine why you would need protection from yourself. Does that make sense? So I just want to make sure that mm-hmm. Gabriel is speaking and not your assumption. That's all I'm saying.
I think he's there because I think I need protection. Like,
fair enough. So that would be right. She thinks she needs protection, so I'm here to provide it.
Right.
Okay. Do you see the difference there?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So we're thankful that they're there, and you know their energy is nice and strong and great, holding the field so that you feel comfortable, which is great. I just want everyone, I just want you to also know you're safe in yourself. Okay, we can hear the voices and be okay, right? So.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead then, and I really just want you to try to listen. Everybody gets a voice. That's why, can you imagine, right, that we're calling it a boardroom. Like, it's a meeting. Everybody gets to say what they would like to say. We're kind of clearing the air here instead of interpreting. We're not doing that yet, okay?
Okay.
So tell me who would like to speak first? That's what I would like to know.
The firefighter.
Great. And is the firefighter male or female?
Male.
Okay. And what would he like to say?
They're kind of busy right now, and there's a lot of fires put out.
And how are you feeling about being so busy putting out all these fires?
Well, that's just what we do. We just do that.
Okay. Do you have any concerns we need to know about?
Well, we never know where there's going to be another fire to put out.
So I'm getting the sense, are you always on alert?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're always on alert.
And so can I ask why you're using the pronoun we?
I feel like it's a big job. Like, it's just not me. It's me and my buddies here.
Aha. You're like the leader of like quite a few. It's a bigger job than just a one-man job.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Are you feeling like you could use a rest?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about taking a rest?
Yeah, we can't do that.
Okay. Because what would happen if you did?
The fires would get out of control.
Okay. And then what would happen?
Well, there's no telling what would happen.
No telling, huh?
Nope. We don't want to risk that.
Okay. Anything else you need to let us know?
Nope, we're just doing our job here.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And who would like to speak next?
The tightrope walker.
All right. And is that a male or a female?
It's a female.
All right. And what would she like us to know? Or what would she like to say?
I've been up here for a long time balancing on this rope, and I really don't want to do this anymore. I really would like to come down now.
Okay. Excuse me. And what if I said, okay, come on down?
Not really sure how to get down.
So tell me a little bit about where are you that you can't get down?
I am high above between two buildings, like crossing two tall buildings.
Well, but you're not. You're in this meeting.
Oh.
I get that you might feel like that, but you're not. I want you to look, right? Look, you're in a meeting. We want to hear from you. You're tired of walking a tightrope, I admit. Is that right?
Yes.
So let's not walk it.
Wow. Wow, yeah. I'm just sitting here now in this chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, why don't you take, you know, just feel what it's like to relax in the chair and not have to walk it, at least for the duration of this meeting.
Nice.
Okay, yeah. Let's just do that for now. We'll be back to chat with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And who would like to talk next?
The peacock.
Great. And peacock again, male or female?
Male.
Okay. And what would you like us to know, peacock?
Well, I'm not really sure why I'm here.
Okay.
I feel like Kathy invited me here, but I'm not really sure why I'm here.
Okay. Is it right if we come back to you? You're just not sure. Are you confused, or you're just not sure why you're here specifically? Or
I'm not really sure why I'm here.
Okay. We will find out in a bit if that's okay. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We've got the drunk and the bear. So who's next?
The drunk.
And what would the drunk like us to know? Or what would he like to see? Is it a male or female? Sorry.
It is a male.
Okay. And
we are here. I'm here. Sorry. I'm just having a good time here. Just kind of relaxing and just hanging out and having fun and really not caring about much.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you really having a good time? Most drunks are not having a good time.
If I don't think about it, I just keep drinking.
Yeah, yeah. So you just are keeping the focus on drinking, and so that you don't have to think about.
And I don't have to feel very much, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of what you're trying to avoid when you're drinking?
All the chaos.
Chaos.
The chaos and the inability to there's like the firemen, I kind of like just there's a lot of fires to put out.
Okay. How do you feel about the firefighter?
Oh, he's doing a great job.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the firefighter and his men. They're doing a great job, so I can just kind of hang out here and not, you know, have to take as much responsibility. It's really great.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay. And tell me, what does the word sober mean to you? How does that feel?
It would be hard. That would be scary.
Hard and scary. Okay. Yeah, just checking. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how about the bear?
The bear. The bear, I feel like as the bear, I'm here as a protector as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm very, not like a, kind of like a pet, but not really like a pet, but just very soothing and comforting to Kathy and steady and sturdy. And
yeah, so let's just, I want to hear, are you protector or are you comforter?
I think a comforter.
Okay.
Yep, okay. I'm just here.
Okay, and then Kathy, tell me a little bit about how's everybody getting along.
I think I'm looking at everybody here.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of sent it out.
Is getting along really well. The peacock, however, is kind of like everybody's kind of like, "What are you doing here?" Kind of like. The peacock is kind of an aspect of myself that says, hey, I'm really good at this, and I can stand out in this particular way in a good way. And it doesn't feel comfortable there.
Okay, so everybody's okay with the chaos, but they're not okay okay with the sort of, together I can do this. And also the male peacock is the pretty one, right? It's quite the shower. And so the peacock itself is surrounded by a tightrope walker, a firefighter and a drunk who seems to have most of the energy. Is that right?
The drunk
and the firefighter and the tightrope walker.
Yeah.
Right? Those three are the strongest, because if we're talking about chaos, those are the three that chaos goes, and each one said a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then tell me about, how about the bear and the peacock?
How they get along?
There? Yeah, what's the bear got against the peacock?
Concerned that maybe bringing too much attention to Kathy would be something that could be dangerous for her.
Okay, good enough to know. And let me ask you, Kathy, how do you feel about the peacock?
It's really pretty. I really like the way it looks over there, and I admire it. I don't feel a kinship with it. I don't feel comfortable with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It does feel, though, like a part of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So as we're sitting here, is it okay if I just kind of work with the table a little bit and you just see what responds and what doesn't?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and then the tightrope walker, let's chat with her a little bit more. How's it feeling not walking that tightrope?
Oh, so great.
So really great. Okay. So let me ask you if you're willing to stay off of it. Are you willing to retire? Is that?
I don't think I can go back up now. Yeah, no, I'm done. I just don't think I can go back up. It's just too scary. I don't know what kept me up there that long.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a reason to go back. Is that right?
No.
Okay, great. So the tightrope, let's just let her lounge and relax, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and then in terms of the, firefighter, he's a big certain that there's chaos. Tell me a little bit about the nature of the fire that you think you always have to be ready for.
It's just like little mini explosions all the time. It just feels like little mini explosions. I know it sounds really weird, but it's almost like a movie. like, it's not happening right at this moment. Like, it's a thing that the firefighter's been with me for so long that, like, it's not even really happening right now. It's just kind of like this, almost memory of fires and just kind of like, just in case.
Yeah. So I would also just suggest that, number one, we can either do like a little fire prevention class or just take some time off and see if it's okay to not be on such an alert.
The for the firefighter there?
Yep.
Yeah. I think, I think he can take a little vacation.
Yeah, let's send him on vacation.
Okay.
And really grateful for the job that he's done, but since he's old hat at it, it might be kind of, you know, let's just say this, new technology, change and growth, the situation isn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well-deserved vacation. Let's let him do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's just chat with the bear again. And, you know, the feeling of comfort. Tell me a little bit more about it now. If we don't have to walk the tightrope, and if there's no fires to be put out, how is the bear, how's it fit now? What's his feeling?
I like the bear. It's really nice and cuddly. But it's not necessary. I just am very, very fortunate to have this bear, have my back.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being comforted by something cuddly, right? An aspect of yourself. So does that feel accurate to you, where you have a real cuddly aspect of your own self-care?
No, it doesn't feel accurate. Yeah. I don't think I have a very cuddly self-care aspect of myself.
Well, maybe, yeah, it's interesting, though. You really like the bear, right? And so you're attracted to the comfort of something steady and something in your corner, right?
Mm-hmm. It's more like that. It's an aspect of who I am as a person, as a mom, like a mother bear almost, because I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like I've put that energy out towards lots of different people, not so much towards myself.
Yeah, we got to use that bear on your own behalf. It is an aspect of you, and you're underutilizing it, right?
Yes.
So the bear, I think, because I'm getting the sense the bear would like to take up more space. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the bear kind of lost a few jobs because some of the people that I've been mothering have kind of gone on their own and don't need it anymore. So
okay.
Just hanging around.
Well, yeah. So, and the bear can also just kind of make sure that the tightrope walker and the firefighter stay on vacation.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And then now let's chat with the drunk.
Uh-huh.
And now that things have, you know, if there's less chaos and less fires and less tightrope walking, and we have more comfort and more stability and more focus inward, how has that changed, shifted the drunk at all?
I think so. Let's see. Sorry, my cats are fighting in the background.
Okay.
The drunk doesn't need to be drunk to hide or to kind of not be affected by what's going on around them. They kind of, it's just kind of, they don't really need to get drunk.
It's just to
have a little fun, you know.
Well, or to check out, right?
Or to check out, right.
Yeah, right? Okay. So let's just, you know, but I just want to just introduce, you know, to the drunk. And it's interesting, that term, the drunk. Is that how you see that part of yourself?
That's how I see this person. It's funny, I see him as an actual character. I mean, it's not really an accurate portrayal of me.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with alcohol? Is that why that's showing up? Is there a concern that you might have a problem with alcohol?
Not at this time in my life. I'm in almost 60. So it's like throughout my 20s, I actually went to AA. I did that. And, I drink now in a regular way. I mean, no.
Yeah, no, we're just looking at what showed up, right? We're just being very gentle about it, right? So I'm just, because it's here and it's got this checked out. It's just fun. But the truth is everybody knows that, you know, if there was a partier or if there was someone that wanted to have fun, that would be a different character than a drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
true.
we want to give it the drunk its due respect. That's what I'm sort of saying. Right.
Yeah.
And so we want to, you know, pay attention to it because, right, in general, if we're checking out because there's a problem, then this problem, we want to attend to the problem.
Mm-hmm. I think a drunk is a partier is different in that a drunk would kind of have lower self-esteem and not really care much about it, you know, himself.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, right, as we look at this, you know, are we getting any sense of maybe is the drunk on the rise as people have left and you're not, and you, if we put out the fires and we get off the tightrope and we don't have anybody to care for, is the drunk starting to come forward? You know, right? So we want to just be, you know, we want to pay attention with love and care about that. Is that a possibility?
Yes, I see what you're saying in that, and I can see where it would be nice to have something to love and care about me.
Yeah. We want to make sure, like, I'm wondering, is the drunk like feeling like that loneliness or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be sensitive and care for that and hear that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, how's the drunk responding to this conversation?
It's funny. He's kind of just sitting back and saying, you care about me. You actually want to include me in your life, you know? Discarded person or person that I'm ashamed of or not, you know, it didn't sound quite right, but.
Well, no, I think these are the thoughts we have. We don't want to be afraid of that, right? The drunk feels like, because most drunks have a ton of shame,
mm-hmm.
right? So how do you feel? Are you willing to be more not, you know, to, right? It's responding well, I think, to your attention. What is your feeling, right? Let's just toward what the drunk is saying now.
Well, I'm feeling to have more compassion towards him, not to treat him like he's an outcast or not worthy aspect of myself.
Right. So let's say this. Would the drunk be willing to do something besides drinking to gain esteem?
Yeah. It seems that the drunk, and now I feel mean. Now I feel mean saying that about this guy. The drunk has been serving me as is something that can escape for a while.
Yes. Right. So, and it's right. So this is why when things shift and change, as the energy is all changing. Right. We've changed a lot of things. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So how we once felt is not how we now feel. Right.
Yes.
So, right. So now also, right, that's kind of what we're getting at. We've taken away these chaotic fires. We've taken away the tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
There's less to escape. We have more loving comfort from the bear. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Right, the escapism of the drunk may also not be necessary. So that's kind of like, right, so we want to just sort of, like, it's an archetype that showed up. So we want to sort of see, like what happens when somebody, let's just say the drunk has gone to rehab.
Uh-huh.
And no longer needs to check out and is now interested in gainful activity that he can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel something like he's interested in?
Well, it's interesting because he kind of just changed into like a nice tuxedo kind of more respectable type person when we were just talking about that. So
yeah.
When I wasn't feeling in a negative connotation towards him, he kind of brightened up and just had his little martini or whatever he had.
Yeah, he's just a little bit more of a sophisticated, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, and let's just say moderate drinker. Is that accurate?
Yeah, yeah.
There, okay. So that's
not drinking to pass out every night or, you know, just to have a warm place to sleep, you know, just kind of, yeah, just to kind of have fun.
Yeah, and like for special occasions, because one wouldn't wear a tuxedo every day, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we want to, this aspect of you, we want to restore some self-respect and some dignity here by paying attention to what we have let slide.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. We're going to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to come back around now because I think we have almost everybody settled but the peacock.
Yeah.
Let's come on back to the peacock and see now if we don't feel differently or if the peacock doesn't feel differently. How does the peacock feeling?
The peacock feels really like the center of attention right now. Because everything is so calm over here.
Mm-hmm.
So... all that chaos and glitter and such is not distracting, and everybody can just look right straight at the peacock right now.
All right. So how does the peacock respond to some attention?
A little nervous, but feeling like it's sitting up straighter and putting its feathers out.
Okay. And does the group feel a little more accepting of the peacock?
Yeah, they're kind of like, wow, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really noticed it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they admire it. You know, they're mm-hmm. wow, beautiful. Yeah.
Great. And then how about you? How do you feel toward the peacock?
I like it. It looks good.
Yeah. So a little bit less nervous, yeah?
Oh, a little less nervous, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sort of feeling like, right, we had these aspects of yourself that were just like way too busy and chaotic and sort of, you know, old mm-hmm. patterns that are not really applicable to your now
mm-hmm.
and with some attention could relieve it. Right.
Yeah.
And this really, like you described it earlier, is like really sort of capable and confident and knows what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Peacock that mm-hmm. was like, I don't fit amongst the misfits, but
yeah.
I don't quite know why my the same meeting as these people.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But now is sort of the center. And is it time for this to be you?
Mm-hmm.
More you, more dominant.
Yeah, I'd like this aspect of myself to have some energy, some life, because I feel like the life's been sucked away from it, you know.
Yeah.
Get some attention on.
Yeah, let your natural beauty be fully seen
mm-hmm.
in all of its glory, right? And all of the things that you really like about yourself as opposed to what you're doing to others. Sort of have a moment or more.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the rest of you seems to be okay with that,
yeah.
See if that just might not be something you can engage with going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I really like that.
Okay.
Especially, I really feel the calmness of the firefighter and the tightrope walker are just, they're not just all over the energy there. I really feel that now.
That is great. That is great. And I kind of am feeling some simpatico energy between the tuxedo and the peacock. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. These two kind of get each other, right? They seem, they're at the same party, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're, you know, it is like you're saying, there's that line between, you know, having fun and being social and enjoyable, and I have a problem because I'm distracting myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So we want to stay on the healthier side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because life is meant to be enjoyed and have fun. And largely, I think those will stay in balance the more that you allow your gifts to shine and let yourself be more the focus in the grandness of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I am not sensing any type of stereotypical, arrogance of a peacock here. I'm just sensing, can we please let our beauty be seen?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right?
I agree, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have you go ahead and look up a little bit, you know, some of the deeper meanings of the peacock, right? But I think we have it. You seem pretty grounded, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And so let's just make one final check to see if Angel Gabriel or Mary Magdalene have any comments or anything they'd like to add here.
No, but I think it's interesting how they're on either side of the peacock.
Oh, that is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they feel good about that.
Yeah. So that's a good, more active team for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, the tightrope walker and the firefighter can relax. And the bear can also just be a cuddler, you know, let's just check in with that. What does the bear seem to be? How's it fitting in with the peacock and the tuxedo guy?
It feels comfortable letting them have the center stage and just kind of being the nurturer in the background.
Okay, great. Yeah, just don't forget about the bear and to nurture yourself and to turn your, you know, softer side toward you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I think you turn your softer side toward you, the more you're going to more comfortably allow the peacock aspect of yourself to naturally be.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. That was fabulous. Thank you.
Cool. You're very welcome. Thank you, Kathy. That was another great example. And so me and everybody else, thank you very, very much for volunteering.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, that is the top of the hour, and that was a great example, and I so appreciate your time and attention, all of the volunteers, all of the people who asked a question, everybody that, you know, was also just listening and learning. I take such, you know, there's so much great gems in all of this work that I'm just grateful for everybody who takes this class and takes on personal development itself. Okay. So I'm just going to take one more scroll through for questions. I don't see any. And then I'm just going to remind you that I'm active and, you know, on the Facebook page. Any questions going forward, I'm happy to answer them. And just keep them coming, and I'll be with you until March the 7th. And then I will also be posting my contact information tomorrow. And I will also be posting study buddy threads each week and checking in on you to try to keep the engagement up. Okay. Thanks so much, everyone, again. It's been my great pleasure to have been your instructor and guide along the way. And just keep on envisioning. And we'll talk to you soon on the Facebook page. Bye-bye.